Welcome back to Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Our guest today is Marty Duncan, a chef, blogger, and party planner who was a finalist on the 8th season of the Food Network series, Food Network Star. And I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. Thanks for being here.
I am so tickled to be here. And we're going to talk about one of my very favorite things, North Alabama. Can't be more excited.
Yes, and food.
Well, that goes without saying, right?
That's a given, right?
Yes.
I know when you stopped by our office not long ago to bring the books by, after you left, I was like, oh my goodness, like that, we had a celebrity in here, you know? So I was kind of geeking out a little bit, fangirling a little bit.
It always shocks me when people recognize me. I'll be walking down the street in New York or somewhere and people come up and say, I remember you from Food Network Star. I remember you from Guy's Grocery Games or wherever they saw me. And they're like, we're such big fans and do more stuff. And people are just so nice. And I'm like, aww. I'm shocked you remember me, but thank you. But I did have one day a lady follow me around the grocery store with a camera taking my picture. And I looked over and I'm like, are you taking my picture? And she goes, yeah, you're Marty. I'm like, I guess I am. I mean, it's just always surprising to me when anybody cares, and I'm thrilled that they do.
That is so awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Marty, before we jump right in.
Oh, gosh, I've had a lot of lives, but I am. One thing is consistent about my story. I'm an Alabama girl through and through. I'm born here, raised here, lived a lot of other places, and have always just called Alabama home. And I did that show, that big national show, Food Network Star, and I had so many people say to me, why in the world, when you have lived everywhere, why would you live in Alabama? I'm like, because it's awesome. So we have great people. It's a beautiful place. People help one another. It's, why wouldn't you live here?
Exactly.
And so it was always, you know, the one consistent thing in my life, no matter what I was doing for my job or in my life, Alabama's always been my home.
Yeah, I know. I think Alabama's an easy sell. We go all over the place doing shows and everything. And people outside of here really do love to come and visit, especially up north, because our winters are mild and, you know, they love our fishing. And so, yeah.
Yeah. When I went, I had to go to Chicago to audition for Food Network Star. Mm-hmm. And I found out about the audition at midnight one night, got my car at midnight 30 and drove to Chicago so I could be there the next day. But I didn't know that I was going to, if chosen to come back for a follow-up, which I didn't know there was such thing as callbacks. I'd never done an audition before, that I would have to cook something. So I'm in my car with like one change of clothes and nothing else. And so they're like, okay, come back tomorrow and you need to bring a dish. And I'm like, bring a dish? Oh gosh. I'm like, well, I'm staying in the hotel. And they're like, well, you have your first challenge, don't you? And I was like, oh gosh. Okay. I got my first challenge. So as I was driving to go to the grocery store to get something to make for this dish, trying to figure out where I was going to make it, I saw the fire station. I'm like, well, they have a kitchen and they cook. And I told the taxi driver, I'm like, stop. Let me get out. He thought I was having a heart attack. I'm like, no. I just need to go in this fire station really quick. So I go and I'm like, I need to like up the volume a little bit on this Southern damsel in distress thing. I said, sir, please help me. I am from Alabama. I'm a damsel in distress. I need a kitchen to cook me something for the... I did my very, very, very best, you know, Sissy Spacek, Doolittle from Coal Miner's Daughter impression. And the man was like, honey, come right in here and let us give you our kitchen. And they did. So that's how I managed. But boy, I turned it up a volume. But everywhere I go, people will say, Marty, talk Southern to me. I'm like, okay, all right, then.
Yeah, when we go up north, people will come up and they're like, okay, like you said, just speak Southern. And so you just talk. And
I've got a book planned. I have my first cookbook that are my own recipes is called Talk Southern to Me. Recipes, stories, and Southern celebrations. So I can't wait to get started. I'm doing one more book before I do that one. Yeah. I'm just getting started on my 100 dishes to Eat in Alabama Before You Die cookbook that I'm partnered with the State Department of Tourism. You know, they've got the 100 things list, the 100 dishes list, but it's actually got about 300 things on it. And so Director Centel said, Marty, you've eaten at all these places. You've been to all these places. We want you to boil it down to your favorite 100 and then get the recipes. So that's what I'm working on, and I hope to have it out for Christmas.
Oh, yay. I can't wait. I cannot wait. Well, this sounds like a good place to jump in and start talking about your latest book. It's called Sweet Home Alabama, Destinations and Dishes Worth a Trip. And it is beautiful.
Yes, this was such a labor of love. I've done 6 road trips around the state promoting our locally owned restaurants. And some of them were trips that I took on my own, and several were with the State Department of Tourism for Alabama Restaurant Week. And so I just decided that I should do a book that not only focuses on our locally owned restaurants, but also on where to go. So, you know, when you get in the car, you go, okay, where are we going? And what are we going to eat when we get there? Yep. And I'm like, okay, but that didn't really sound like a great title for a book. So, but that's what I would have probably called it. Okay, y'all, where are we going? And what are we going to eat when we get there? So that's basically, I wanted people to know too, like, so many people don't cook, especially people who are retired empty nesters. They cook occasionally. They're not, I mean, they've cooked their whole lives. Now they want to get out and do things. And so I wanted to give them a destination to visit and then some ideas for what to eat. And then when you get home, you have all these great recipes you can make when you can't get to the restaurant.
Yeah. What a great idea. I love that. And I mean, we know, like, when you go to a place, like, the food is part of your experience in that, you know, new town, new area, that the food makes it.
Well, it is one of those things that keeps you coming back.
Yes.
And it just sort of sits back here. It is like your mother's cooking or your grandmother's cooking or whoever that person was. You know, I think it's so like music. Food is tied to a place and a time in our life. You smell something, you taste something, and it can transport you. And I think that when you go to these places, sometimes there's that little thing and it will just sit here and you think, oh, I want that. That's why my previous book was called Alabama Cravings. It's just that craving. You're like, I want that, but I can't get there. Like, I can't drive the 4 hours to get to Gulf Shores right this minute.
Right.
So I was so fortunate to work with a lot of chefs who were willing to part with their recipes. And for the most part, I had maybe a couple that have said no over the years, but very, very few. And I work on the recipes and get them where they're friendly for a home kitchen, because, you know, chefs have a different way of doing things. So the books really, and this book in particular, you know, the recipes are so easy, and you're able to make them at home for a reasonable amount of people, not 300 people like you would do at a restaurant. But it does make you just want to, these dishes do want make you just want to go back, you know, I want to have that again. Let's go back there.
Yeah.
And I typically, my favorite restaurants have been my favorite restaurants forever, but every so often, you know, add a new one to the list.
Yeah.
And then you can't, you know, got to figure out how to get it in the rotation so you can get there.
That's right. That's right. Well, I love the stats that you included at the beginning of the book. You want to tell us how many miles, restaurants, and dishes that you visited and sampled?
Yes. And, you know, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I backed off on the sampling a little bit because I didn't want to people to think, oh my God, that poor girl needs to go to rehab. I mean, I ate so much. And you know, the thing about it is when you go to visit and they know you're coming, they really want you to try everything. And I want to try everything. So I just like, load me up. I want to try it all, bring it all. And I have the pictures on my phone to prove it, thousands of dishes. I mean, thousands. And I just take a little bite of most of them. But even that adds up. If you go to 3-4 restaurants in a day, it really adds up. But yes, it was 4,832 miles, 132 restaurants and bars visited. And I want to emphasize bars too. Yes. Then I boiled that down to 90 recipes. And then 541 dishes and drinks sampled. But I'm going to say that was really probably more like 1,500. I just didn't want to say that. They're like, no wonder she's gained 40 pounds. Yes. It's not easy. That's not easy to go around and sample all that delicious food. And then, you know, then you got to decide which recipe you want to ask for. Like, That's okay, right. I don't know. How should I get the cream corn?
Or That is impressive. That is impressive.
And I don't always include every place I visit in the book. Sometimes I don't, because maybe if they're getting ready to sell the restaurant, for example, that happens frequently. Or if they're transitioning in some way, I typically won't. When I recommend a place, I really want it to be a good experience. I want them to have great food, great hospitality. I want them to feel like they've found that little gem, you know? So I'm really careful. But so I went to a lot of places, and I have enough for the second book probably without even going back on the road. But I am going back on the road.
Because that's fun.
Well, yeah, and it's part of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I want all new pictures too, you know? Sometimes I may have a dish that I want to use, but sometimes maybe the chef will change it up a little bit and the plating will be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So I want to have brand new pictures for everything.
Yeah, because the presentation is part of it too. When you get a dish and it's just gorgeous and you're like, oh man, I love it, where I'm just like, oh, I got to get a picture of this, you know?
And, you know, I think we used to do a lot more of that back in the early days of Instagram and Facebook. We used to do a lot more of that, taking pictures of our food, and people don't do it as much anymore. But,
we need to bring it back.
I think so. I love that more than memes and things like that. I really love to see what my friends are doing, and I love to see those dishes that are posted, especially when people are cooking at home. I love it. But they do say you eat with your eyes first, and I do think that's a big part of it. When it comes to the table and it's beautiful, you're like, oh, I gotta try that.
Yeah.
Gotta try that.
Well, you've gone all over our beautiful state of Alabama, but let's jump into the places in North Alabama that you've visited. So which ones are your favorites, you know, if you're picking favorites?
Well, I mean, it's not really fair, is it? Because
they're all your favorites, right?
Yes, but I'll just say this. Some I've been to a couple of times. Some I've been to since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
But I've been going to Big Bob Gibson's in Decatur since I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
And I will tell you a very funny story. The very first road trip I did for the state was in 2012, the year I did Food Network Star. Mm-hmm. And Lisa Tell and the Department of Tourism sent me out on the road trip around the state for Alabama Restaurant Week. And so I hadn't been to Big Bob Gibson's since, I don't know, I'm going to say the 80s. I just hadn't been to Decatur. I'd lived in a lot of places. I lived in Chicago and New York and Seattle and lots of places. So anyway, I hadn't been back to Decatur since I was a kid, or, you know, young, or maybe, I don't know, 20 years old or something like that. So when they were on the list, so I decided to go in. But when I was a kid, I had a friend whose mother worked at Big Bob Gibson. So sometimes we would go to the wave pool, and then after it closed, they booted us out. We'd go over to Big Bob Gibson, and her mother would always bring us out a piece of pie. Her mother was the pie maker. Mm-hmm. Well, I hadn't seen the girl in forever. So when I went in, I saw a girl that sort of looked like my friend back in the high school days, you know, but she was still a high school, you know, like a young kid, like 18, maybe. I'm like, it can't be her. She cannot. So I asked the lady, I'm like, do you know Joanne? That girl kind of looks like her. And she goes, oh, yeah, she does look like her, but that's not her. I'm like, well, I kind of figured she'd be at least, you know, 50 or whatever. And they're like, well, yeah. I said, her mother used to be the pie maker here. She said, yeah, her mother did used to be the pie maker here, but now she's the pie maker.
Wow.
And they brought her out. She was in the back, and then she came out. And we got a chance to reconnect. I hadn't seen her in 30 years, maybe something, 20-something, 30 years. Anyway, I got a chance to reconnect with her. And so her mother made the pies. Now she makes the pies. And she won't give me any of the secrets. When she retires, I'm gonna break her down, put her under like a microscope, you know, a spotlight, and interrogate her and get those pie secrets out of her. I don't know how they get that meringue to hold like that and stay so beautiful and so good. But I was really a big fan of that peanut butter pie.
Yes, it's good.
They didn't have it on the menu all the time back then. You'd have to look on the website or social media and see when they were going to have it. So I would try to plan my trip to Big Bob Gibson around. Okay, get that peanut butter pie. But sadly, I have never been able to get that recipe. But Chris Lilly has become a great friend of mine. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of events together. We've done the oyster cook-off down. We've done South Beach Food and Wine. We've done the oyster cook-off together quite a few years down at the Hangout. and he's become a really, really good friend. So yeah. If I had to pick a favorite, I would have to say for those reasons, it'd be Big Bob Gibson, but only because I have such a history and they're friends. But okay, let's go to Florence. I love Josh Quick. I love Odette. It's one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite cooks. He's so good. In fact, we're doing a chef dinner together down at Fisher's for the Southern Grace dinner series.
Oh, cool.
Josh Quick and I are doing that together with a couple of other, maybe Chris Lilly might be doing it too. I'm not sure yet, but anyway, that's in July. Okay. And so I love Odette. I love Hector's Kitchen. They're the it's in Itala. The sweetest, nicest, cutest people. I had never been there before. And here's what happened. So when I go to a town, I always ask the restaurant owners and the chefs, where do you go on your day off? When you're going to go out, where do you go?
Yeah.
And 100% of the people in Gadsden said, oh, I'm going to Hector's Kitchen. And so I went, and they were so lovely. I think I stayed 2 hours, ordered everything on the menu. It was so good. They're so nice. Kim and Hector are just the sweet, and their whole staff, they're just the nicest. And I was up there recently for a book signing. We sold like 4 cases of books in that tiny little place. And they're just lovely. They're wonderful. And the food is great. And you'll get things you've never thought you'd find in Alabama, like mofongo, or which is a pork dish, or, you know, and then so many other things. They have these wonderful soups that they're homemade every day, and desserts that are homemade every day. They have their own blend of coffee. They have this giant, big espresso maker that they got from Italy to make these beautiful espressos. So anyway, that's a favorite. I love James Boyce. He's, you know, the king of Huntsville restaurants. And Cotton Row is one of our premier restaurants in Alabama. And that short rib recipe in my book is one of my favorite all-time recipes. That's why I had it in Alabama Cravings, but I included it in this book too because I thought it was just so good that I couldn't leave it out, number one. He's known for it. But also, it is one of the easiest recipes to make at home. It's so delicious. But James Boyce is one of my favorite human beings. He's awesome. And all of his restaurants are so good. But, you know, like, I could just keep talking. I had a wonderful experience at Poppy in Parliament. Relatively new. It was my first time to go. The presentation on the fish and chips was out of this world. But they do so much more than that. And the girl that is the executive chef, Kristen, she is really a trained pastry chef. I think she was trained in France, but she does it all, but she's also a pastry chef. So you have chefs that are chefs, and then you have chefs that are pastry chefs. Usually they don't cross over, but she's both. She is a chef and she's an executive chef and a pastry chef, but she made the most delicious pavlova I have ever had outside of Europe. And I would drive there to go get it. It was that good. And I love, let's go to Hartzell, the Freight House.
Yes.
They are wonderful. They're so nice and they're so welcoming. You sit down, they have that player piano. The kids love it. But the steaks are great. Yeah, let's go for a steak. But those cakes are unbelievable.
Oh, they are good.
Unbelievable. Yes. The strawberry cake, which the recipe's in Alabama Cravings, so good. This Italian cream cake, so good. All of their cakes, so good. I mean, I just can't pick. I can't pick.
They had another dessert that I thought was very unique. And it, instead of the strawberry pretzel salad, it was like the mandarin. And it was so refreshing. It was so good.
One of my favorite things. I have a giant picture of that. I loved it. I mean, that's how good it was. And I get that every time I go. Yes, they use instead of strawberry, like, which is pretty common in Decatur, North Alabama. You know, what I've learned too by traveling is that there's so many dishes and recipes that are, let's say, indigenous to one area of the state and not so much in other parts. And like Champies, for example, Muscle Shoals. And so in Decatur, Hartzell and Decatur, you find pretzel salad. You don't see it everywhere. There are places that have it.
Yeah.
But really, it's almost on, if it's a meet and three or a lunch place, for sure they're going to have pretzel salad, cornbread salad, like things that aren't really salads, but we call them a salad.
Yeah, Let's Do Lunch has a really good strawberry pretzel salad that's in
She's in the book. Yeah. Deborah, she's so awesome. I love her. She's so awesome. That is such an awesome place. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought it up. But what she's on the 100 dishes for isn't that pretzel salad. Mm-hmm. What she's on the 100 dishes to eat in Alabama before you die is a cornbread salad. It's so good. Now I got to get that recipe out of her.
It is so good.
But it's so funny. Like another thing, biscuits and chocolate gravy. Pretty much once you pass Coleman, you don't see it very much. It's really a North Alabama farming community thing.
Yeah. And you tend to think, like, when you've grown up eating certain things, you think, what, you don't have this everywhere?
Yeah. And it's funny, you don't. And there are things like, it's really funny, like, there are things in North Alabama, very indigenous to that area, but they're just as equally so in lower Alabama.
Mm-hmm. So what are some other things that are indigenous to North Alabama that's in your book?
Well, okay, so let me think about, of course, Big Bob Gibson white sauce. Do you know that there's hardly a restaurant that has barbecue, or not even barbecue restaurants nowadays? It's like, if you serve a fried pickle, you might have an Alabama white sauce. It started at Big Bob Gibson. Mm-hmm. That's the genesis of a white barbecue sauce. And of course they use it for their chicken, but around this country, I'm always shocked. Like, I'll be in Cleveland and they have an Alabama white sauce on the menu. I'm like, what? It's shocking to me, but it is a big thing all across the country, and it all started in Decatur and right there at Big Bob Gibson. Another thing that I really like, and it's always sort of, you know, it's not necessarily a North Alabama thing, but because you do see it in other places, but like, for example, at Top of the River, when you sit down, they bring you that big pan of piping hot cornbread, and you get those pickled onions with it.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't know about pickled onions. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is definitely an Alabama thing. I think, you know, you'll see it other places, but yeah, that's kind of a very big thing, to get a pot of greens, some pickled onions, and hot cornbread. There's nothing better to me. I don't need much else after that.
Good. Okay, so what recipe in your book are you getting the most feedback on? What are people loving?
Well, it's really, I mean, truly, there's not even a contest. It is, without a doubt, the number one thing that people have made and commented and sent me pictures of is from a place in Florence called Jack's Place Bistro. And it's downtown Florence. Uh-huh. And it's Jack's chocolate pie. Now, he's a pretty famous guy. He does movies. He's like a food stylist for the movies. He's done hundreds of them. Yes. And so he's a very, very well-known and established chef. But he's got this cute little place in Florence where he's based, and because that's where he's from and his family's there. So when he kind of got a little bit older, he's like, I'll leave Hollywood. He can fly in to do a movie from anywhere.
Yeah.
So he's based in Florence. But when I went there that day, I ate about 20 things. And the last thing that came out was this chocolate pie. And I'm like, that's the recipe I want, because it tastes just like my mother's. And I never got her recipe. And I guarantee you there are thousands of other people who are like me, never got the recipe down and crave that thing that their mother made. They can't get. So almost without fail, the comments that I've gotten, 100 maybe, over the course of since the book came out in December, are about Jack's chocolate pie. They've made it. They love it. It's awesome. And it tastes just like their mamas, their grandmamas, their nanas, whoever. And he didn't want to give me that recipe. He wanted to do something fancier, something, you know, a little bit more chefy. I'm like, give me the home thing. Give me that. Yeah. People will love it. And I was right. I knew it. Because I'm a cook, and I have tried for a while to recreate my mother's chocolate pie, and I just never got it exactly. And this one is perfect. It's got a little bit more cocoa than what I had been using, and it's just so good. And it tastes like your mama made it.
Oh, I got to make this pie then, because I love chocolate pie. That's my favorite at Bob Gibson's, is the chocolate pie.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm getting
I got to make Jack's pie.
Yeah. Yeah. Peanut butter pie has no equal for me. None.
So which places do you find yourself? You mentioned that you will, you know, make a trip just to go somewhere. What places do you find yourself going to again and again, even if you're not working on a book in North Alabama?
Well, I love to come to North Alabama because I'm a big fan of music. In my book, Alabama Cravings, I did an Alabama playlist of music that was either recorded in Alabama, like either Fame or Muscle Shoals Sound, music that was written by somebody from Alabama, or music recorded by somebody from Alabama. So I have an extensive playlist of Alabama music. So I'm a big fan of music. So I find myself in the Shoals a lot. I love it. We've got that beautiful, you know, the Alabama retirement system has that incredible property there with the Marriott Shoals. And,
oh, yes.
And listen, that restaurant there is fine. The one that revolves, it's at the top, the 360.
Yes.
Listen, a lot of people think, oh, it's a hotel restaurant. It's good. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I had a tomahawk steak there that was about as good as any I've had. And the crab cake there, which I have the recipe in the book, that crab cake is fantastic. And they use Gulf crab. It's, you know, you got the big lump crab, and it's divine. But anyway, I love to go to the Shoals. I absolutely will go to Sweetwater Bakery in the morning. Mm-hmm. So here's my little thing. I'll go to Sweetwater Bakery in the morning. I'll sit in the window. I'll get a giant cup of coffee and an even gianter cinnamon roll. Laura does a cinnamon roll that is the size of your head. The day I went in there were some older ladies sitting in there knitting, and they had a little knitting club, and there was like five of them at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them had a giant cinnamon roll. One would have been enough for all of them, but they all had one, and they're like, oh no, we're going to have a little bit, and we're going to take this home. So they're like that. You have a little bit and then take it home.
Yeah.
But so I'll start there in the mornings. Now on the weekends, sometimes they have beignets. And so sometimes if I'm there on the weekend, I might get a beignet. So I go there in the mornings, and then for lunch, I absolutely. I mean, if it's brunch, not lunch, then I usually go to Odette. I love their brunch. It's so good. And then, but I love Ray's at the Bank for dinner. Like, absolutely. All these places are just so good. So I find myself in Champy's. You will find me you'll find me there for lunch or dinner, but I will be at Champy's for chicken stew. Love it. Absolutely love it. They have a key lime pie there that's really good too. And their drinks are good. They got good drinks. So anyway, but I find myself a lot in Florence and Muscle Shoals. I love it up there. I would live there, truly. I like it that much.
Well, all right.
I mean, you might notice there's a little quote from Director Centel in the book and a little Sweet Home Alabama thing down here. And the main reason, I'm going to tell you why I do this. People always ask me, why are you such an advocate for Alabama? Why do you promote Alabama like you do? And I'm going to tell you why, and I hope I don't cry. So I went to do that TV show, Food Network Star, and it got down, it was 15 people, and it gets down to the final four. And I was always in the top, not at the top, but in the top group as far as the popularity votes go all along through the contest. And people from this state were sending out emails around the globe and on Facebook and social media, getting people to vote for me. And these are people that I knew and people that I didn't know. And so when we get down to the final four, they said there were three people from New York and me. And they're like, Marty, aren't you a little bit nervous? Like, all of them are from New York. There are more people that live in their block than live in your whole state. I look at that lady that was asking the question, the interviewer, and I said, no, I'm not worried a bit. And they're like, well, why not? I'm like, I'm from Alabama. We make American Idols. Are you crazy? My people will show up. And they did. I barely lost that thing, barely lost it. And it's because the great people of Alabama got behind me, voted for me, told their friends and family to vote for me. And I feel for that, I will owe Alabama something for the rest of my life.
That's beautiful. I love it.
Well, I mean, it's true, isn't it? We get behind our people. We support our people. And for me, I always will feel like I owe something to my state for that.
Yeah. And we are so grateful, though, that you have written all these books and gotten all these recipes for us to make it home and then tell us where we need to go on our next trip. And so
people are always so shocked I can get the recipes. They're like, how in the world, like, did you get that chef to give you that recipe? I'm like, I just asked. They just ask. But I think they know me well enough to know, first of all, I am a chef. So I think they know I understand their point of view and where they're coming from. I don't want to do anything but promote them, make them look good, make people aware of them. And, you know, our locally owned restaurants, y'all think about this. Our locally owned restaurants, they do not have the big giant advertising budgets. These big conglomerates do. I'm not discounting your Applebee's and your any other chain, because they employ people locally too, and they contribute to our local economies too. But our locally owned mom and pop restaurants are the ones that will show up when you need your ball team sponsored, when you need food for some kind of charity event, when you need something. It's the locally owned places that are going to do that for you. And they do not have the big giant budgets that these other chains have. So I want to help give some voice, some awareness, some sort of attention to our locally owned places, where it's your neighbors that are in there working so hard in those kitchens to put out great food and great service and wonderful hospitality with a smile for the most part, no matter what. Is there, you know, to me, they're like ducks. You know, you always say the duck is like so calm on the surface and then underneath paddling like crazy. That's how every restaurant is. You know, they bring out your food to your table and they're so calm. But in the back, there's all kind of chaos going on. Yeah. But they never let you know. And they work so hard. The restaurant owners and the chefs have been so gracious to provide the recipes for me. They invite me to, you know, come in and see what they're all about. And It's my great joy and my great honor to be able to translate that into a book.
I am so grateful that you joined me today. This has been amazing. Thank you.
I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. Well, tell our listeners where they can find you on social media.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So I'm Marty with an IE. MartyDuncan.com is my website. From there, you can message me or you can, they'll say, contact me and you'll see my social media channels. But I'm Marty Duncan on Instagram, and I think on Facebook, it's Marty Knows Parties / Marty Duncan. So many people know me as Marty with a party from Food Network Star that I kind of hate to get rid of that. But parties and entertaining are a big part of what I do in my life, in my job, my career, and just in general. If there's a party, I'm really going to try to show up. I just bought a ticket to go to London for my friend's birthday party. If there's a party, I'm coming. I always used to say I'm a party goer and I'm a party thrower. So I'll show up and I will also plan your party if you need me to do that. So anyway, but yeah, they can find me on Facebook, and then all the ways to get in touch with me are really right on MartyDuncan.com. That's the best way.
Well, okay. That's a wrap for today then. North Alabama's social platforms are linked in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama adventures.